First Baptist Church of Redmond, August 8th, 2010, The Lord's Supper.
Good morning. Please stand. Our scripture is 1 Corinthians 11:26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you very much. We're going to break our Roman series for this Sunday as we actually talk about the Lord's table. You know, we have the Lord's table regularly. We'll go through it, but I wanted to take a few minutes and just reflect on it in some ways. You know, because of the things we read in the news, things we read in our Bibles, things we hear people say, it's good to stop, to reflect, you know, to think about, you know, what are we doing? Why are we doing it? What's the big deal? Why do we take the time to do this? You know, why should we do this? If you follow baseball, you know, the Mariners used to have a really good pitcher on their team called Cliff Lee. Cliff Lee was here for a few months, played ball, won some games, lost some games, but everybody enjoyed him on the team, the pitchers, because didn't matter if the Mariners scored one run, no runs, or 10 runs, every game he played very hard. He's notable because he'll very likely finish this season with more victories than he does walks. Now, if you follow baseball, it's not uncommon for a pitcher to walk 2, 3, 4 guys a game. You know, he shouldn't, but sometimes it happens. He might not walk 10 guys all year, 150, 100, 175 innings. So him being around helped everybody else get an adjustment on what they should be doing. Sometimes we need an adjustment so that we can think about what's really important. If you're like me, there's a lot of things that you think of during the week. You want to think about, you know, is everything going okay with the house? Anything broken? Anything need to be maintained? You know, how's the family? I told you before, you know, Brittany's at home, not feeling good today. Hope that she rests. You've got some friends and family. You know, things going on with them. Contact. Maybe a new responsibility in relationship to work. Maybe, you know, something with yourself. Something's not feeling good. You're trying to evaluate. You go to the doctor, and you begin to wonder, you know, there's a lot of things going on. What's important? What should I be doing? How should I be investing? How should I be spending my energy? When we think of our Christian faith, what I'm going to say, don't take it wrong, I'm not trying to be alarmist, but yet on the other side, I want to get your attention. For a lot of times, being a Christian here in the United States has been something that oftentimes folks have been a little embarrassed about. You know what I mean? In some places, you talk about your faith, and if you're a Christian in Japan, I've never been there, but I have friends who have done missionary work there, to say that you believe something, okay, but when they get baptized, it sometimes causes a break with the family. Because the Christian faith honors God, looks forward to being with God, and doesn't have the kind of after-death honoring of relatives that perhaps might be expected in some societies. In other places in the world, you know, trusting Jesus as your Savior causes radical change because Christianity is not the most widespread religion in some parts of the world. And again, I don't want to be alarmist, but I want you to consider the fact that is being a Christian normal and safe? Up until this point in the United States, being a Christian has been the normal thing to do, the safe thing to do. But now oftentimes, making a statement that you agree with Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 tells us that if you want to find eternal life, there's only one name under heaven that's given. That's the name that earns our salvation. And that is the name of Jesus Christ. And when you look at Paul's words, again, we're looking at a message series in Romans that we've begun. But rather than continuing that, I want us to stop and reflect and think that preaching Christ crucified ruins professional politeness and wakens us to the wreckage of relativistic pluralism. What does that mean? You can go around, you can talk to people, you know, how are your grandkids? What team do you like to follow? What color is your favorite? Where are you going to go for vacation? Where do you like to fish? Oh, it doesn't matter the answer. You talk, you chat. But once you get your mind around the message of the gospel, the Bible tells us that the gospel message is offensive. It's offensive because it tells us that there's something wrong with us. And there's something wrong that we cannot fix. And if your faith matters to you, if it has significance to you, and you begin to talk about your faith, you will eventually disagree with someone who says that they believe something else or that they believe nothing. You know, they talk about that joke, don't talk about politics and religion, because that really can stir people up. You know, the politics part I leave to you. I actually registered independent. But for me, the Bible aspect of it, the gospel aspect of it, is something that's kind of serious. You know, we took time last week, we as a group, and worked on things for Vacation Bible School. You know, we heard a testimony, a little girl coming, different background, different culture, born in a different country. Not really been familiar with the gospel message, yet the Bible tells us that God reaches down and saves. So the gospel made sense. Talked to her, a lot of questions going back and forth, answer them, but try to give her opportunity to trust Jesus as Savior, get grounded in the faith, and move forward, because she'll have a different eternity, a different life. They become a different person. Let's talk about our other friends, because our society kind of likes this kind of message. Our Muslim friends believe that Allah saved the Messiah, Jesus, from the ignominy of crucifixion. I'm using this because I'm quoting from a book. I'm quoting some things up here to discuss. Our Muslim friends believe that Jesus the great teacher, didn't die on the cross. Because to die a penalty that would be left for a criminal would be insulting. So they believe, and I've heard a couple of different things as I've read, they'll believe that either someone was caused to look like Jesus. Most commonly I see that Simeon carried the cross of Christ because he stumbled. They put it on the back of Simeon and he carried it. Some people will say that God caused Simeon to resemble Jesus in the eyes of the people who were watching. So they actually crucified him. Some people will say that Jesus just passed out, did not really die, that there was a, you fill in the blank, anything from a mass illusion to just deception. But if you read even the Seattle Times, about a year ago, there was an article, which I saved in my office, didn't bring, about people writing about heaven and how you get there. And the people who were writing were clergy people from the city of Seattle, commenting how they couldn't believe that God would require the death of his own son to enable people to go to heaven. And on the religion page, in the B section of the Seattle Times, people made the remark that they felt that if God required his son's death, that they didn't want anything to do with that God, because that God would be guilty of child abuse in their eyes. And the message of the cross made no sense. Our Muslim friends will say, we honor him, that's Jesus, in the writings of Isa, more than you do. Because requiring the death of one for the life of another does not make sense for many people. But that's essentially the gospel message, isn't it? Christ died for sin. And that is the essence of what God did for us. Jesus is the Lamb who was slain. John the Baptizer called him that. We have hymns in our hymnal with phraseology like that. For us, we need to recognize that the center of Christianity is the dishonorable, foolish, gruesome, and glorious reality of the tortured God-man, Jesus Christ, and that more and more, he must become the issue. Can I tell you something? There's a lot of things you see in the news, you see in courts, you see in legislation, that may not make you happy. And I'm not going to say that that doesn't matter, because exercise your citizenship. You should vote. You should be active in your community. You should get as involved in those things as you feel God wants you to be. But what matters is, do people trust Jesus as their Savior? Can I tell you that? It doesn't matter which party is in power, ultimately. Is Jesus your Savior? Because if Jesus becomes the Savior of the people in the nation, in the community, in the family, it will make a difference. It will make a difference because they will have a new goal, and that is being Christ-like. They will have a new Lord, a new master. The master won't be their own lust, their own desires, their own thoughts, their considers of getting ahead. But Jesus, their Lord and Savior. But when we talk about the gospel, when we talk about this exclusive message that there is one way to get to heaven, the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23 tells us that this message causes some people to shudder. We preach Christ crucified, Paul said, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. What's the point? A stumbling block to the Jews? Well, if you look at your Old Testament, see how our Jewish friends will talk even today. They're looking for a victorious Christ with signs. Remember when Jesus was in the world, and we look at our gospel stories, they were asking, what sign will you show? Do you recall, what sign will you show that you are the Messiah? And they were looking for Jesus to do some exceptional trick for them. And he replied to them, there'll be no sign for this generation except the sign of Jonah. The belly of the whale for 3 days and then out. That was going to be the point. It was his resurrection. Foolishness to non-Jewish people. The point is that Jewish people at least have the background. They have God's words in the Old Testament. They have Isaiah 53. They have Isaiah 9:6. They have the promise of the one who is coming, the one who will defeat Satan, the one who will be struck in the heel but crush the serpent's head. They have the pictures of the servant. They have the pictures of the one who is coming. But people without that kind of background, which is most of us, lack the background to appreciate Christ's death and want to evaluate the pros and cons. You start to talk to people about Jesus and the gospel, and so often the first response is, what do I get out of it? Will it make my marriage better? Will it make me smarter? Will I be healthier? Will I be able to live a longer life? And so these people see no meaning for the death of Christ on the cross for their sins. It sounds foolish. And as I mentioned to you, people who have religious positions in this area say, oh, I can't imagine why there would need to be death or atonement for sin. When we take the Lord's Supper, what we are doing is participating in an important symbolic event done by believers together. I don't think you should do the Lord's table at home. I know some people do. I don't think you should do it at home. I think that misses the point. Stressing their unity. Broken bread in the cup portraying the broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ on his cross. That's what we're about to do today. It's symbolic. What does that mean? Well, we talked about this a little while ago. Ordinance versus sacrament. You'll hear those words bounced around. Jesus commanded, he ordered us, that's where the word ordinance comes from in English, is it's an order, to observe his death. You should do this. Do this in remembrance of me. The idea of a sacrament, you know, sacra coming from an idea meaning holy, it's something that makes you holy just by doing it. Some of our friends up and down the street here in different churches will say if you do the Lord's table, you earn some status with God in heaven. It changes you. It makes you more holy. God gives you some more of his grace. For us, We're changed when we trust Christ as Savior. That's what I think. When we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, that's when we're saved. That's when we're forgiven. That's when we're changed. And it's good for us to remember to obey God's words, to do this regularly so that we remind ourselves how important it is that we trust Christ and how big a deal for us sin is. Luke 22:19, Jesus tells us to do that in remembrance of Him. I think it's good for believers to do this together. I think that it's the duty of every believer to be baptized and to commemorate the dying love of Jesus Christ at the supper. Matthew 28, Jesus talked about that He was going to commission us, not the great suggestion, but the great commission, that we should go out, we should evangelize, we should disciple, and we should obey the things that He has told us to do. Luke 22:17, this is for believers. The Lord's table is for believers to follow. He told the disciples to divide it among themselves. Different times Jesus would compel people to come to a supper, tell a story to compel people to a supper. Jesus says, this is for you. Why? This is to demonstrate that something that believers have in common is their saving faith in their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that trusting Jesus Christ as Savior brings us into communion with Him. You read those verses from 1 Corinthians 10 a little while ago about the communion that we have? Later on in that chapter it says that we're not in communion with Satan and the demons, but we're in communion with the God who is in heaven. So trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior is what has bridged the gap and has connected us with God and connects us with each other. And however regularly you choose it, we do it once a month, second Sunday morning of the month. This act together demonstrates unity with God and with each other. The Bible speaks about the broken body of Jesus Christ. My body, which is broken for you. Christ's human body was present. Some people will say Jesus only existed in the mind of the disciples. Christ's human body was present. He suffered wounds in the process of His crucifixion and before His crucifixion for our sins, for our benefit, not His. He shed His blood for us. And the Bible speaks about the cup. The word "the cup" has the idea of the usual cup that they would have expected. Remember, it's the third cup of the Passover ceremony is when we anticipate that Jesus had introduced His disciples that this is his body, this is the cup, they would have gone along in there. This is something that they would have expected knowing what was going on. It spoke about that the redemption, the forgiveness is in my blood. The fresh, as distinct from the Mosaic covenant. Remember the Old Testament covenant? If you obey me, I will bless you. If you disobey me, I will curse you. Now, our benefits are in the foundation of the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. God will bless us and keep us with Him. I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, and He takes me to heaven. One day in my life will be evaluated. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. But if I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I'm forgiven as a result of the shedding of His blood, His body breaking. And the benefits for my salvation, sinner, the basis of forgiveness and fellowship with God. These are the things that happen because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross from us. Like Israel will have in the future kingdom. The Bible talks about the new covenant. It says we have the same types of benefits now. Forgiveness and fellowship. We're talking about what happened when Christ was on His cross. You proclaim the Lord's death till He comes as you take in the Lord's table. 1 Corinthians 11:26. That's part of that verse says. The Lord's table looks back on the crucifixion. It looks forward to the return of Christ. Why is this important? Very simply, we talk about the word ordinance. We're commanded to do this by Christ Himself. The Gospels, Luke 22, Matthew 26, 1 Corinthians 11 talks about doing this. It helps us remember why He died. Jesus did not die in a car accident. Jesus did not get a cold and pass away. Jesus came to bear witness of the truth. And part of the truth that He came to witness about was our need for God and our need for sacrifice. That we're sinful people, but that He Himself has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. He was made the righteousness of God for all of us, so that by trusting him, we can achieve heaven. Spiritual and physical decay follow the misuse and disrespect of the Lord in the Lord's table. This is a verse we don't always talk about. Sometimes we get concerned. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30 says that the Corinthians were turning this moment where they're supposed to be reflecting on the Lord's death, where they're supposed to be reflecting on how much God loves us, and where they're reflecting on our own sin and our need for a Savior, and they were turning it into what was almost a church party. People were not waiting for each other to receive the elements. That's why we do it together as a group, and we wait and do it all at once. Some people were running ahead. They would have the Lord's table and then have a meal afterwards. Some people were taking their elements, going quickly to go to the meal because they wanted the best food that was left, it seems. So they would have their Lord's table moment. They would have their meal and they would leave, while some people were still first waiting. They were thinking of themselves and putting themselves first. And Paul writes, under inspiration of God, it must be right. Some of you were weak. Some of you were sick. And some of you had been so disrespectful of the Lord's sacrifice and the remembrance that some of them, there's two words for sleep in the New Testament. One of them means what you're going to do this afternoon. Remember, Saint, Sunday afternoon is nap time. Some of you will be taking your Sunday afternoon nap after lunch. Another word for sleep is a word that's used of symbolic nature, talking about Christians who have passed away. Because remember, Christian, you, when you die, to be absent from the body is to be where? Present with the Lord, waiting for your resurrection. The resurrection of the body, the rapture. This helps us see how dependent we are on God's love. God demonstrates his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, what? Finish the verse. Christ died for us. That's why we do this. We do this because God has told us to do this. It helps us to remember how important it was for Christ to die for us. Why did he die? And it helps us remember how much we need him. Because sometimes it's very easy to shove God someplace else, because there's so many other things. And the regular observance of the Lord's table helps us reflect and remember that we all need Christ to die for us. There was no other way for us to receive forgiveness of our sins and the entryway to a new life in the eternal with God in heaven other than walking through the gate that Jesus opened when he died on the cross for us. Why is it important to have the Lord's table? It adjusts the way we think. God tells us that he resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And to bow the knee at the cross is to recognize that we don't have all the answers. I cannot solve my own problems. I'm distant from God. I can't always make the right choice. God, I need you. I need you to forgive me. Once I've trusted Christ, I'm not always going to still make the right decision. I'm still going to sin. I still need to trust you for forgiveness. But God, you and I have communion now. I'm at peace with you. God, help us to find people who think like we do so that we can be at peace with each other. And help build up each other in our faith so that we can share the communion of the saints. That's what that's talking about. We're saints if we've trusted Christ. And that we can share together the praise and glory of our Lord and Savior who loved us and gave himself for us. That's why we do the Lord's table. Christ died for us. I recognize that it's the only way for me to get to heaven is faith in that message. And I've taken that message for myself and I trust it. And it's the most important thing about me. No matter what other people think, no matter what other people say, my trust of the gospel is the most important thing about me.